the same.
Where did you just saw you?
Gotcha.
Hi, good afternoon and welcome to the Economic Development, Tourism, Housing, Planning and Transit Committee meeting for Tuesday, June the 4th, 2019. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mary, would you please call the roll?
Sure. Legislator Archer?
Here.
Legislator DeLon?
Here.
Legislator Mayo? Oh. Legislator Maloney James? Legislator Maloney Joseph? Legislator Rodriguez?
Present.
Chairman Waltman?
Here. So we have a quorum?
Yes.
We do have a quorum. Good. The minutes were circulated. Does any of the committee members have any changes to the minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a motion to approve
so
the
moved.
Minutes?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 4-0. Okay.
Look at four of us.
Yeah.
Oh, soon to be five. I'm going to go out of order a little bit and invite Joseph De Leon to. I'm going to give him privilege of the floor for a minute.
So really, I asked the chairman if I can have an opportunity just to address the legislature, the committee that I have been a part of for the last 2 years almost. So I announced my resignation with the county a couple weeks ago. It's with a heavy heart. My family and I our families are in Chicago, and we've had some kind of like tragic circumstances, some bittersweet over the last year. And so it's just really kind of, led us to realize the importance of family. For the longest time, we kind of kept our crazy families at arm's length. And when I retired from the military in the summer of 17, we knew pretty early on that we were going to come up this way and try and lay down some roots, and it just didn't work out that way. So, I just wanted to really take the opportunity to thank everybody for their support, for their feedback, and for really just supporting the Information Services Department. It's a great department, a lot of great IT professionals there, administrative staff. You're in really good hands with the leadership there. Like I said, I just really wanted to take the opportunity really quick to thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
To thank everybody for
and
their
thank
support.
You all for all your help over the years.
Thank you. One last thing. So my deputy, Alan Macaluso, if you're not familiar with him, I brought some of his business cards so that you have a point of contact, for the department.
When's your last day?
My last day will be Friday.
Best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll leave some up top and some in the rear.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great job.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was nice. Okay, we're going to move right into resolutions if we could. Resolution number 146, establishing a policy for the appointment of members to the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency, IDA. Is there a motion on this resolution? Is there a motion for this resolution? Hearing none.
Okay.
Does that get recorded in the WAC?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Okay. On to resolution 179, restricting Chamber of Commerce membership paid for with Ulster County funds. Is there a motion on resolution number 179? Is there a motion for 179? Any? No action on 179 as well. If it's okay with the committee, we have a lot of interested people here, I think, on the resolutions that are pertaining to the Department of Planning. So pass over Resolution 229 for now and move on to Resolution 244, if that's okay with the committee. Any objections there? Okay, Resolution number 244, declaring intent to act as lead agency under SEACR for capital project number 479, Ulster County Midtown Linear Park, PIN number 8761.82, Department of Planning. Is there a motion for Resolution 244?
I'll move it.
Second.
Any discussion? Actually, Chris, can I invite you to discuss? Do you have anything, remarks you want to add on this resolution to the committee?
No, it's a simple resolution declaring lead agency for the review of the Midtown Linear Park. It's a type 1 action because it's substantially contiguous to the Sharps area in Kingston, but we already have a letter from the State Historic Preservation Office saying there's no adverse impact, but we have to do that as a matter of law just to review it. And so we'll come back to you in some number of months with the findings and have you consider your issuance of a negative declaration, which we don't see any adverse impact of.
Any discussion among the legislators present on Resolution 244? I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passed 5-0. Tracy, Chairman, okay. 5-0. Okay, Resolution 245. Amending capital project 459, Ashokan Rail Trail project, to include costs for construction and engineering inspection of the Ashokan Station and Woodstock Dyke trailheads, Department of Planning. Is there a motion for 245?
I'll move it.
Second.
Chris, invite you to add any comments to the committee related to this resolution.
Thank you. This is a follow-up to the resolution that you passed in February. You may remember that the DEP was supposed to build trailheads for the Ashokan Rail Trail under our agreement from 2015. They asked us to take on building two of them because they didn't think they would get through their procurement process in a timely manner, and we could save money by doing it while we're doing the other parts of the project. We put the project out to bid. The project actually came in quite high, and then what we did is we value engineered it down to the available budget that we had from DEP. So we cut out things that could be added back later by DEP. The contractor did reduce some of its costs. So this capital project will fund the construction itself, which is $1,718,800, and also cover the construction inspection fees of $161,600, and we are tracking towards a completion of the trails the trail will be done by July or August, but we can't open it until these trailheads are done, and we hope to open some or all of the trail by September or October.
This year,
and then the rest of it by the end of the year or early January. So
for the trailhead.
Yeah, so the two of the trailheads could be open by October, along with the first 9 miles of trail, while we're finishing the Boyceville Trestle, which we think will be done by the end of November. And then DEP will come back and do the few things that need to be done on the third trailhead, which is already substantially built because it's a staging area.
Legislator Rodriguez, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just to confirm, Mr. White, that the intergovernmental charges there, that this is all money coming from DEP, right? At what point do we sort of, for better lack of a term, run out of their largesse?
Well, on this, it covers it completely.
Sure, right.
We've already used their grant, the $2.5 million from the original MOA, mm-hmm. has already been spent. So again, we're at about a $16.8 million project with about a $6 million local share. So we've done pretty well. We've gotten 9 discrete grants for this. Again, so that 2.5 went into the first couple phases. Mm-hmm. We're only adding this because we could get within the available budget of the grant. And it was tight. I thought we were going to... Our bid came in 50% above the estimates from both of the engineers who designed the respective trailheads, and we're finding that with a lot of bids. People are so busy that they're throwing higher numbers out than we ever expected. But sure. We did get it down to available budget.
That's what I
Chairwoman
was,
Bartels.
Thank you. I was going to ask about what it came in. You answered that question. Because this, if my memory serves, you expected we were actually going to save money based on what the original estimates were, right?
Yeah,
and we would come in
up,
under and we...
We ended up over $400,000 above where we needed to be. And so we cut that and we asked for concessions on certain lump sum items. And the firm that's doing the trail construction was the only one that bid. And we understand that there's a major bid due in a few days for the cashless tolling system, and a lot of companies are involved in that, and it just didn't have the bandwidth to do it. Mm-hmm. And one of the other ones that usually bids had just gotten an award for another thing, and they said, we just don't have the staffing and the equipment to do it.
Yeah.
These are also pretty time-consuming bids. They're all single items. It's a lot to work it out, and I think part of the... One of the issues with not getting other bidders on this one is that the company that was building the trailheads were already on site. They were able to not have to remobilize, and so companies just didn't feel like they could compete with them.
But it makes for a seamless sequencing of project, because they can now start the Woodstock dike as they're finishing the trail right there. And so it actually helps us open the trail in a more expedited manner and avoid conflicts between, different teams that are working.
Right. Okay.
Any other discussion from legislators? Mm-hmm. All right, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of Resolution 245?
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. No, I'm not opposed. Yes. Carried 5-0. Thank you. And on to resolution number 246, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county. A. Servidone Incorporated, B. Anthony Construction Corporation, JV, Department of Planning. Is there a motion for this resolution?
I'll make the motion.
Any?
I'll let the listeners hold on a second.
Any discussion? Actually, Chris, again.
This is just the construction contract based on the revised bid that we negotiated down from the higher bid. It's the same firm that did our phase two. They've been doing an extraordinary job. They're all union, a lot of local, all the materials are coming out of a local supplier, a lot of the labor coming out of local halls. So, again, I think it's a... And they really have pride in what they're doing because a lot of them live locally.
Any discussion by legislators? Any questions?
Did you actually track their addresses?
We get their addresses, yeah.
Did you?
Well, they have to file
certified payroll with the prevailing wage, yeah.
Let's see if they actually knew that where they actually live. Can we get a map of where they live?
I'll
tell you
all
where,
right,
they,
I'm gonna,
where they
you
are.
Make a motion. I'll call the question. all those in favor of approving resolution number 246, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Resolution number 247, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000. Entered into by the county, Barton and Ladudis, DPC, Department of Planning.
I'll move it.
Second.
Chris.
So this is the contract that includes the $161,600 for the construction inspection of the trailhead. It also adds another $276,000 for the Boyceville Bridge. And the reason I didn't put that in the original contract is I thought I was going to be able to cover it with the DEP grant. We thought our estimates were going to come in at about 1.3, and we would have hundreds of thousands of dollars left over. So we're extending this to the end of construction plus a period to do the punch list items, taking us into May. So if you look at that and say, well, why does it say May? We're going to be open before then, but there may be punch list items that are seasonal and can only be done in the spring.
Any questions or discussion by legislators?
I think I have one, but I know this is covered by DP. How much have we, has Barton LaJudas been inspecting all of the constructing work throughout this? So they've, because this is the Fifth Amendment, so I would assume that they've been...
And they're not pleading the Fifth Amendment.
Okay. You had to throw it in there. I know. That's okay.
They designed every part of the project with the exception of the Ashokan Station trailhead, which DEP designed.
Because this is a significantly a higher amount than any of the other amendments for the same type of work at various stages of construction, right?
No, it's Amendment 3 was for $598,000. If you look at it, so their first amendment.
But wasn't that the?
It's for the trail.
Oh, well, it was the trail. Okay, so I thought it was the bridge. The bridge.
No, it was. I believe it was for the trail, and then the bridge was an additional $360,000.
Okay. Because it says phase three was the Boyceville Bridge in the document. So did I misunderstand that?
Let me just make sure I'm not
okay.
Mistaken. I do have it in phases and amendments.
So phases are separate from the amendments?
Yeah,
phases
are different
said?
Than amendments. Yeah.
It's very confusing.
I agree. I never knew we were going to be into four phases here. I never expected we'd have to do the trailheads, frankly.
Okay.
But I'm glad we're doing it because it gives us better...
And this is all DEP money, correct?
The 161,600 for the trailheads is all DEP money.
Okay.
The other $276,000 is out of the project itself. And I have that...
That's out of the $6 million, that's the county's share?
Yeah, that's out of the $6 million. But
that's our share, right?
It's already authorized in the capital project. I'm just shifting from contingency to engineering. So you have it in the capital project now. We didn't use the contingency for the trail.
There's no new bonding at the rest of
the trail. Okay.
Right. Exactly. So this was picked up under the prior bond.
Any other questions from legislators? I'll call for a vote on Resolution 247. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Approved 5-0. Resolution, I guess, thank you, Chris, for everything. Resolution number 255, authorizing a grant application to the Federal Transit Administration to apply, accept, and administer 539B funding for bus replacements and authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute any required applications or agreements to accept funding, Ulster County Area Transit. You can.
Second.
And our director, Sasha.
Everyone, for anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Sasha Ahmed. I'm the deputy director of UCAT. This is just to apply to the Federal Transit Administration for replacement for new buses, bus purchases. And after we apply to the FTA, we will be applying to New York State Department of Transportation to match our local share, so we don't anticipate any county dollars going towards these bus purchases. And once the application, these funds have already been allocated to Ulster County, so once it's approved, we will go forward with a capital project resolution as well. So this is just to apply for the funding.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair to either director or deputy director. So which buses are we buying with this?
We are buying two 35 footers and two cutaways, 26-foot cutaways.
Okay. Just because I was just making sure that this is actually jiving here. So yeah, so it's four buses.
It is four buses.
Okay. Cool.
If I may ask a question. What's the ordinary delivery time for the 35 footers? I think people, it's not like a off the stock shelf, it's off the rack any, item, is it?
It's anywhere between 16 to 18 miles.
Right.
Oh, wow. Miles. So that's what you're putting now. Right. If the buses are 2020 replacement date, so you're fine now.
So that it's you have to plan well in advance to for these acquisitions.
Right. And the cutaways are, you know, anywhere from 10 to 12.
Right. Okay. Did you?
If it's okay.
Sure.
Thank you for the opportunity. I know that the county is purchasing two or three electric EV buses.
Yep.
I believe. And I was wondering if these happen.
They haven't. No, what's going on? We are working. We're working on putting together a contract to go out to bid yet, because what's happened is we went out to purchase buses and there's a lot of vendors. There's a lot of different now. So with the Volkswagen funding, we already have the funding, and the Volkswagen funding will match the difference. So what will happen? Saj is working with.
This is the emissions settlement money.
Yep. So Saj is working with Capital District, and we're trying to do a group procurement to even get the buses cheaper. So that's where we are with it. But yes, the money is there. We're going to get them. We're hoping now that they'll be here sometime in 2020. All right, and they will be. We're going to run two of them in the city of Kingston. That's our plan, and we'll run the other two between the colleges, from New Fulton to Stone Ridge, the Ulster Community College.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And not to sound too, how should we say, selfish for my own community, but wouldn't it make more sense, though, that the other two buses then be deployed in New Paltz just because of the, you know, you're already in an urbanized area, you know what I mean? You've got plenty of EV charging stations, you know, within the community. I mean, wouldn't that make more sense than
Well, the problem is the charging stations are totally different. So the charging stations, what we have to do is we have to make ensure that the charging stations are local, as far as they will be at the facility, and they will be paid for by NYSERDA funds, so we won't even be paying for that, which is good. But the one bus, that's why we want to run the one, that the CL bus right now, mm-hmm. is the one we are going to run from New Paltz over. Now, sure. I think with the Loop buses, you know, they are not quite where they need to be for cutaway electric buses, but when they are is when we'll go after them. But we've already planned to put in three charging stations. They agreed to pay for three charging stations, and I asserted it because we've scheduled to purchase three buses. So they'll give us the funding for that. So that's what we're looking at. And then there's a low-no grant out there that Saj is applying for to also cover more charging stations, because we're running out of room and we're looking to get money to build an electric bus storage facility, which will be all, you know, electric and all that good stuff to charge the buses. And I think then, if the charging should be consistent, and that is a big question we have. They can't make three different electrics. There's three vendors out there producing electric buses. They all have different charging station types, which is not good. So that's another reason why a lot of the transit, we have a committee now that we've gotten together and trying to make everything consistent, making the vendors and the charging stations all universal across the board. And that's what needs to happen with the cutaways. So we can bring in the cutaways, and they have to be able to charge like any electric car would. So, you know, it's a big discussion right now because it's still new technology. But, you know, we have our foot in the door and our foot in the pot of money, and we're hoping, you know, by 2020 we can see some green buses running.
And the low-no is?
Lorno Emissions is an FTA competitive grant program. Our application was submitted, and we should find out sometime, hopefully in August or sometime in the fall, whether we got that funding. But aside from that, we're one of the first transit agencies to qualify for the Volkswagen funding. So that's additional electric infrastructure. Right now we have everything set up to get the three buses. Those were just the bonus.
Legislator Green.
I am very supportive, needless to say, of electrifying our fleet. But I also want us to realize that statewide, our electric consumption has actually been going down a little bit, and there are many interpretations of why that's so. But with the push for electric heating and cooling and electric vehicles, it's going to start going up. And I want to be sure that that doesn't mean we're going to be burning more fossil fuel in a different place, or perpetuating aging nuclear facilities long after they should be closed. And so that means that we have to be investing in solar on site, and ideally solar with storage. So I don't want us to get too far ahead, and I'm saying this in general. I strongly support electrification, but we have to make that investment, and so I'm asking that, especially if you have a facility where solar could go in, and because the buses are going to be running when the solar is generating electricity, that helps the grid as a whole. But ultimately, it's probably a zero emission balance system is going to require storage so that that energy can be transferred while the buses are not running. It sometimes works well to be charging, for example, if you're driving a vehicle to work and the sun is shining while you're at work all day, that vehicle battery can be charging directly from the solar, and actually can serve as a storage
reserve. We have already noted that, and we will be looking at solar energy for the new, that would defeat it perfectly. So we're trying to put that all with the new facility. We'll look at that because we've had that discussion when she wrote the loan note, seeing if we can get, because why not, right? If we're in a facility or in an area that we can utilize the sun and use solar panels, that's the way to go. So we are, it's on the burner.
Excellent. I know that was a bit of a rant, but it's an important one, given the extent of the climate crisis. So thank you.
Any other questions from any legislators? I'll call the question. All those in favor of Resolution 255?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, that's 5-0. Approved. Resolution 256, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the town of Shandaken for the direct invoicing of bus fares for Shandaken Summer Day Camp students. Department of Public Transportation, Ulster County Area Transit.
I'll move it.
Second.
Carol, could you give us outline on
this? This is
first?
Something we've been doing every year for approximately 6 years, and how it started is they had called us to see if we would do a shuttle bus. Well, we're not permitted to do shuttle buses, but when you ask a lot of questions, you find out the pickups and the drop-offs were along the bus route. So for a win-win, we said, well, why don't we utilize the Z route? We'll pick up the students, drop them off at day camp. It works, the time works and everything else. The fare is $1.50. We'll discount the fare to $1.35. Not only does it provide them cheap transportation for their summer day camp, but it also provides us ridership of about 400 trips per week, which increases our STOA, our state operating assistance. So it's a win-win. It's an increase for our ridership, and it helps the town of Shandaken with their day
camp. Carol, if I may ask you, on this fare adjustment modification, did you have to go through any FTA approval to
update
it?
No, for the discount, no.
Okay. Chairwoman Bartels?
I was wondering, do we do it anywhere else? A similar program?
We did it with summer school, when there was summer school between Kingston and Ellenville at the Rhonda High School. We did it then, but nobody else has ever applied or asked that it's right along the bus route.
It seems like a great program. And, my follow-on question is, what kind of supervision? I mean, is there any, I don't know how old the children are. Do they require any?
Yeah, we require that there is a camp counselor with every 5 students And they know we're serious. We've had a couple issues, but all we do is call Hamilton-Dayton PD and they show up and the students know that
they're in trouble.
Because not only are the students on the bus, there's the passengers are on the bus. It's a regular, right, it's public service. Right. So.
Legislator Rodriguez, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, I mean, Carol, we technically run a couple different programs that still utilize ultimately the same process.
Mm-hmm.
New Paltz, the loop operates under the same process. So, I guess more my question really is what sort of spurred was obviously not in relation to this specifically, which of course we're going to support. But you know, how many other programs I guess out there that we should be targeting to, in essence, try to get municipalities to prepay some of these. You know, some of these rides, some of these fares.
There's probably a handful of them out there. I know the senior educational program in New Paltz, we've worked with them and provided the seniors discounted rides to SUNY New Paltz. As a matter of fact, I think SUNY New Paltz paid the fare.
Yes, yeah, SUNY New Paltz is free because the student association just pays that fare.
Right. But other towns haven't really approached us. There was one that approached us, but nothing was en route. And it's you have to understand, in order to keep your federal funding, you have to write the federal guidelines.
Sure.
We're not allowed to do, you know, a shuttle service for a private entity. You know, we can do a special for not-for-profit once in a while, but we can't run a special shuttle service.
Legislator Nolan, please.
This has been wonderful for Town of Shandaken, and I'm so grateful for it. And I think in addition to the ridership here and now, we're actually cultivating people who are conversant with and understand how the rural transportation network works. So I think it's building riders for the future in a way that will help make the whole network more robust. So it's really good, and I think it's great to make sure that they understand that they're riding with adults and that they have a certain level of standard of conduct that they have to live up to. It's been very good for us.
Yeah, it's been a positive experience for us also.
It used to be very painful for me to see how much money was going to a bus company to do this instead of having it work just like this.
Sorry. Any other questions or comments from legislators? I'll call the question. Resolution number 256. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No, I'm going to pass 4-0. 5-0. Okay, moving on to resolution number 257. Authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into a license agreement with the City of Kingston for the use of certain transit facilities by Ulster County to provide expanded transit service in the city by Ulster County Area Transit in response to the dissolution of City Bus and elimination of transit service by the city, Department of Public Transportation, Ulster County Area Transit.
I'll move it.
Second.
Carol?
This is a great example of the agencies working in partnership. This is a follow-on resolution to the resolution the legislature passed with respect to expanding transit service in the city of Kingston and allowing the city bus system to go out of existence. As part of that, we need some of their facilities in order to store our buses. They additionally have a bus washing facility. It's right in the middle of their DPW garage, so it's really a shared facility. We do have a space within their garage that they're going to designate for the storage of buses. It's going to be actually their buses that they're going to transfer to us. And then, as well as the bus wash facility, use of the bus wash facility. And there's also licensing for some of the bus shelters within the city and gates. A couple things happen with respect to this. One is it gets us needed facilities until we can look at what our needs are, expand on Golden Hill in terms of our service facilities. Two is these facilities have existing federal life, and if they went out of transit use, the city would basically have to pay back the federal interest to FTA. So it gets them off the hook. There's a limited amount of dollars here, about $12,000 annually. It's basically going to cover the heating costs associated with the facility. we will have insurance requirements, et cetera. But that's, and if you look at the next resolution, you'll see that addition in the budget in the next resolution.
And it's for 5 years?
It's up to, yeah, it's 5 years. Yeah, it's up to 5 years.
And I will just throw in that none of the buildings, this is not a modification for any of the current uses for any of the buildings. They're all going to remain in the, with their current use. Any discussion or questions from the legislators? Hearing none, I'll call the question. Resolution number 257. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. 5-0. Resolution number 258. Creating transit positions and amending the 2019 Ulster County budget, Ulster County Area Transit.
Move it.
Second.
Can you expand on this at all?
Well, I can if it's like, we can't take over City Bus without any help, right? Mm-hmm. So when we asked employees how many would like to come over, we ended up with 3 full-time employees, drivers that are coming over, and Tony Roser is coming over, their supervisor. It will take 8 drivers to run this service. They had 6 full-timers, 2 part-timers. They had someone in the office that had left a while ago, plus Tony. So basically, we're looking to put in the 6 full-time drivers, bring, you know, put those positions back in, the 2 part-time drivers. We're picking up all their phone calls, so we put in for a dispatcher or scheduler, and then the ADA person who's going to take the ADA appointments and schedule them, because we do have software, so if you just answer the phone key, and as people are making the request for the pickup, they do have a mechanic. I didn't ask for a mechanic. I asked for a mechanic's helper. Number one, it's cheaper. Number two, I don't need to pay a mechanic to run and do a breakdown or run and get parts or run and clean the floor. A mechanic's helper can do that, so that's going to save us some dollars there. And then I just put it, we're putting in an operations person to oversee all the operations of this.
Great. Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Carol, thank you for that. And I guess my question at the minute is going to be, are the hours of operation in terms of the service that we're providing, does that, how does that match up, I guess, with what City Bus was providing?
It's pretty much mirroring what they have. They're leaving the yard right now at 7. We're leaving the yard at 6:30 and starting at 7. Then we're running until 7 p.m. about the same exact day they're running to. So we're going to be running 2 shifts. What will happen, and then we have the demand response. Mm-hmm. So what's happening with the full-time people, 3 full-timers will start the red, the blue, the yellow run, starting at 6:30, running until 3:30. Then the 3 full-timers in the afternoon, they will start their actual run at 2:30, but they're reporting at 11:30, because the demand response people who don't live along the route, that we told them if you lived with in a certain area, we would pick them up and feed them to the fixed route. So those full-timers will also play a part and drive that until their run starts at 2:30, where they'll stay until 7, and they'll be off at 7:30. And then part-timers will utilize on Saturday.
And what's Saturday's service looking like in terms of, I mean, that's also mirroring what
it is? Yeah, matter of fact, it's probably improved 3 times of what it was, because they were running very limited service on Saturday. We are running every other hour on the red and blue route, and the hour on the hour on the yellow route.
And on a related note, although Joe left, so are we ensuring that the app is also updating on Saturday and Sundays, because it wasn't before?
Yeah, and we're making sure, we're working with Bishop Peak right now with the app and all that good stuff. I have somebody.
What's the ETA in that?
It should be July 1st. We should be good to go. I have everything in-house, all the software, all the tablets, the scheduling of all the antenna installation, the GPS, TrackStar, everything's slotted to go.
I'll check July 1st.
You can.
That first Saturday.
You're saying July 1st for the city being included in the app. You're talking about a different issue.
Well, we already have this issue with regards to our existing app, where if you actually use the app like on a weekend, it's actually not updating weekend service.
Checked it, and it's always been there. I don't know, the new false loop?
No, at that point, I was actually talking about, like, I used it, admittedly, it's probably been about 4 or 5 months ago or something like that.
It was an issue back there, it's been addressed.
Okay, so yeah. All right, so means we're not gonna have that problem though with the city bus. Okay.
No, and it, you know, I check it once in a while, but if somebody sees an issue, please let me know. You know, I'm not right. We paid to make it right. Mm-hmm. It's there for customer friendly service, so we want to make sure it's right. But and that will be a good thing because the people in the city of Kingston will also have access to that app. It will, you know, so it's real time. It refreshes every 6 seconds, so they'll know where the bus was. Yeah, matter of fact, I don't mean to take your time, but I'm not transit. But today I had a customer call complained, and they said, "Well, your bus is running 6 minutes ahead of schedule." He says, "I just checked the app, and your bus is sitting at the plaza, and I know he's running fast." So, you know, they're using the app, and they can tell where the bus is. So, you know, which was good because I get to talk to the driver and tell him, "Hey, you can't run ahead of schedule. That's not what we're out there for." But people utilize the app like that now, so now they're watching.
They're
so
checking.
So I think
up.
it's going to be good, and the Wi-Fi is all scheduled to go into the city, these buses within the city of Kingston. So it will be nice. I think it will be a positive experience for the existing passengers that we have, and hopefully we'll build. I'm hoping to double the ridership by December, the number of trips. So.
Excellent. Any other?
The maps for the routes are up on both the main department's website as well as the UCAS website.
And I did bring the pamphlet here if anybody would like. But they're here. All right, there's a Saturday one. This is just something I've made up to put out on the buses and get out there so people have it, and then we'll do a campaign to get everything, you know, really out there on the.
When do you anticipate that campaign to kick in? So
mostly
next week. Yeah, Dennis and I talked about it today. I'm also looking at the meeting up and going. You know, and then I think also, too, after the service starts is when to do another campaign, because I think you can get some more feedback. You know, let's hear from the people that are utilizing this service. I mean, this is the first phase. Right. You know, it takes a little bit to really iron out the kinks, but I think it's a positive thing.
I do, too. And, Carol, do you anticipate maybe doing any customer satisfaction or ridership satisfaction surveys maybe once the service is up and running?
Yeah. I think, too, what we'll do, we can add that onto the app. So I'm going to look at seeing if we can put a survey on the app or on the Wi-Fi. If you sign on the Wi-Fi, the first thing it would do is ask for some customer feedback, and then it will, you know, give you access to Wi-Fi. So we're going to look at that, and then we do have already have some surveys to go out that they can fill out. Because it's important, that feedback is important to make sure if something's not working right, you know, that we fix it right away.
Oh, that's great. Any other comments or questions from legislators?
No.
Okay, I'll call call for...
I'm encouraging these folks is one of the things that we're very much concerned about is essentially taking over a bus system without any drivers. So we began a discussion, you just heard three, we need six, we began a discussion about how to do that. And between the administration and Carol's office, they came up with a really unique solution. I wanted to tell you about
it. So,
we need to have a discussion with and make sure the union is on board, but one idea is to bring on, instead of a grade 8 bus driver, a grade 6 bus driver trainee, and help people get trained, and so it wouldn't require them to have their CDLs. We have a person who can train people to work towards their CDLs. Instead of somebody taking an $800,000 CDL class, then they would basically train on the job, get paid a slightly less amount, and then when they were ready, they would pay the $100 exam fee, they'd get their CDL, and they'd be moved up to a grade 8. Nice. Something that we're looking at for recruitment, because recruitment of bus drivers is always...
Great
difficult.
Idea.
It's a very competitive field right now.
And,
great idea.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll call for a vote on resolution number 258. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Carried 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carol and Saja and Dennis. Very good. Resolution number 260, appointing the alternate member to the Ulster County Planning Board, City of Kingston.
Motion?
Second.
Any discussion? Call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? 5-0. Resolution 261, appointing a member to the Ulster County Planning Board, Town of Lloyd.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the question, 261. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, then we have to go back to a resolution that we passed over earlier. I appreciate everybody on that. It's resolution number 229. Requesting the New York State Legislature introduce legislation amending general municipal law and the tax law in relation to including the County of Ulster within the definition of a designated community under the Hudson Valley Community Preservation Act of 2007.
I'll move it.
Any second?
I'll second.
He got drafted. Discussion.
He was giving everybody else a chance. What a nice guy.
Any discussion?
Oh, he fell asleep.
Pull us back. Any discussion on resolution 229? Mm-hmm. Hearing none, I'll call the question. I thought there would be.
Well, I had not seen this before. Has this been proposed before?
This is the first time.
First time?
Yes.
And is somebody else doing this already?
This is mirroring legislation that Cahill and Metzger are currently sponsoring.
Mm-hmm.
This was passed in Orange County. And in Orange County, Skoufis and Schmidt are moving this.
Mm-hmm.
So this allows for communities in Ulster County to put a vote on the referendum, make a have the opportunity for a referendum for a transfer tax for open space.
Oh, a transfer tax, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Transfer tax for on certain properties over a certain threshold,
right,
that then gets
mm-hmm.
used for open space.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Legislator Nolan.
So, I'm in support of this. In the part of the county where I live, we have more than 75% of our property protected as open space. So I know that I will get the question, would the additional open space lands be, how would they be determined? And would there be recognition of the fact that there are areas of the county that already have substantial lands and open space protection?
So I guess the answer is that it's up to the community.
That's the answer I want.
Yeah, and there needs to be a plan in place moving this forward, and then the community has that opportunity to move forward on something like this or not.
And so there would be a countywide position that we hope to obtain, plus opportunity for towns to make their...
This is all about towns having that opportunity. In the past, it was a very complex process, and in fact, this wasn't carried forward by our representatives. So we've waited a long time for folks.
It would be sympathetic.
Exactly, and we have them now. So again, this is up to the town. It only gives them the opportunity.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Smith, Woodstock Land Conservancy. I'm the Ulster County Land Trust have been conferring about this, and including with Scenic Hudson, and we have their government relations person here, Andy Baking, and I wonder if you could have an opportunity just to speak to this for a minute, if it's okay with the legislators.
Well, certainly, please. Sure,
thank you. This is a program which has been very popular in several corners of the state, starting with Long Island in the 1970s and 80s, where the five East End towns have leveraged a significant amount of money with the approval of voters to meet the goals of the community that are embodied in their own community preservation plan, which has to be created by a local committee and then ratified by the town board. We've also seen this program work to great effect in Warwick, where a significant amount of the working farmland has been protected with the consent of the agricultural community and the landowners themselves, as well right across the river in the town of Red Hook, where they've had great success over the years. What we have found as a regional organization that one of the most powerful tools from a conservation perspective is when local government has the opportunity to create these kinds of funds. Again, it's not required. They still have to create a plan. They have to put it out for public referendum. But it provides critical matching funds to help them achieve their goals, where they can often match it with a regional or local land trust or with state or federal funding when that might apply. And it's been really just a huge success in many, many respects.
And Andy, besides open space, a community could also elect to do this, use that money for historic preservation purposes.
That's true.
There are other options. So,
and the law requires that 10% of the funds be put into a stewardship fund so that the local governments are taking care of that over time. There's a number of provisions of it. It's a very well thought out piece of legislation that was piloted in 2007 by a former Senator Libel, who represented Putnam and Westchester County.
Any other questions or comments by legislators? Okay, I'll call the question. Resolution number 229. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
All right, thank you. That passed 5-0. Okay, so slide on here. Okay, any new business for the legislator Green?
Yeah, I wanted to explain to this committee, and I had hoped to catch the Office of Economic Development and IDA, that I was quoted in the Freeman about Tech City, and I think there may be some opportunity. I think we very much, many of us are working on either recycling oversight or the solid waste management, the Solid Waste Planning Commission. We very much need markets that will process recyclable materials into products, and we need them here in the United States. And so I just think that it offers an opportunity. I don't know the details about potential foreclosures, which buildings or how it would fit in with buildings that are still active and not being foreclosed upon. But I just did want to, I hate for people to read it in the paper and me not offer, why I said that and so forth. So I just wanted to communicate that if there is potential, I hope that an IDA to attract businesses that will provide real markets so that we don't have to depend on China or, distant markets. And when I first helped gear up Ulster County's recycling program, all the markets were in the Northeast except for one that was in Georgia, and they backhauled products, so it wasn't... And the materials were clean, and it was a system that was working. And over time, it's changed in the direction that makes it harder to market. And globalization has set in big time in the last 20 years. But I think local self-reliance is an important principle, and I just hope that folks will take that idea seriously. But I mainly came because I don't like to be quoted in the paper and not have gone to the committee or to the agencies that can actually do something about this.
Excellent. Legislator Rodriguez.
Before I get to my point, as a point of clarification, the IDA does not do business attraction. Their job is to be able to go and look at projects to deem them whether or not they actually meet thresholds for inducement for tax breaks. But that said, to the point actually I put my hand up for, I apologize, just wanted to just correct that. I plan next month just to present, I think, some of the meat and potatoes, the guidelines for what was proposed in last year's budget for the local government fund. It's one of these things where I know I've gotten a couple of phone calls and conversations with different communities, and I've been pulling together a couple of different, examples of that, and I'm actually hopeful to have something to this committee next month. So that's all.
Very good, thank you. Anyone else with any new business? Any legislators with any new business? No. Any legislators have any old business? Hearing none. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
All right.
We're adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it.
Yeah.